Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
It is the end of March, the 30th, as a matter of fact, and five show month, although we skipped one of the days, so still four shows.
Well, we have a lot going on. There has been probably one of the biggest stories that I have seen in a very long time. Fascinating discussion we're going to have tonight about what's gone on in the world of finance related to some very unscrupulous folks out there. And
wait, in the markets, there's some people that are unscrupulous?
Unscrupulous markets.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is an unfortunate circumstance, but it is what happens. It is, especially when we have these kinds of situations where you have easy money and you have unlimited
free money.
Free money, yes. Free money. So that's what's going on there. But I have an update on, I don't know if you want to talk about it now, but I have an update on my COVID shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what about it?
Went downhill quick.
What happened?
So that day I felt fine, that Tuesday that I got the shot. That night I felt fine. And the next day I kind of woke up, I was like a little bit, my arm ached a little bit. I felt a little like crampy, sore, my body. By that night, that was Wednesday, fever was getting to 99, 100, like 100, 101 fever. And felt like crap.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
You had COVID again.
Yeah, I did. And then there was the next, I woke up in a pool of sweat and had to lay down blankets all over the bed. And then the next day felt like crap. Had a little bit of a fever. Not too bad. The next night it spiked up a little bit towards 99.5. And then I still feel a little, at this point, that cough, that lingering cough that I had since last February is kind of there again, the one I got the cough button for.
Oh, huh.
And my arm's still a little, just a touch. Yep, it's sore. I don't know what they put in there. I guess it must be the microchips. That's kind of like.
Sharon's alive.
You know, something. So
Sharon ain't taking that shot.
So that was the Pfizer shot. And there were some great studies out, though, whether or not we believe them or not, where the people who have had COVID and got the shot, only one have a 6-time multiple on their antibodies. And the Pfizer shot is now 80% effective after only one shot. So I'm thinking,
Yeah, you don't need a second shot.
Yeah, but it's not about the shot. It's about the fakakta travel card, passport.
It's illegal in Florida.
Of course it is, but I could travel. Florida, you could do anything you want. With or without a shot, with or without a mask, with or without anything.
Yeah.
But if I want to go to, I don't know, say back to Morocco. Or
what do you want to go? All Europe, the whole thing is all shut down anyway. What are you going to do back there? You can't even get a hotel.
Right.
And you can get stuck there. Like we have our guy at the No Agenda show, Dave Fugazzotto, has been stuck in Saudi Arabia for a year. Can't get out.
I don't know. The whole thing. I told my wife this time, listen, I'm not kidding about this either, John. Seriously thinking that I'm not getting that second shot.
I don't know why you get the first shot. You had COVID.
I do agree with you. But we went through that last week. But
We can go through it over and over. Guess not going to help. I have no influence.
Yep. It seems that way. We have forced liquidations hitting select stocks as massive block trades hit the markets last week. And this hedge fund blew up, and just waiting for when the congressional testimonies are going to now start on that one. You know, because if you know what I'm talking about, right? It's like,
haul them in front
of Congress.
And then do nothing.
Then do nothing.
Except humiliate them. That's kind of the fun part of it. You humiliate them and have different guys come up with their questions and variations, and then you don't do anything.
But here's the investment thesis with this. This is what you do. You wait till after the Congress and Senate, they talk to them, they beat them up, they browbeat them, they pontificate. You wait till the next day and then buy the stocks. Happens every time with all the Facebook, Googles, and all that, you know, Mr. Zuckerberg, do you agree that privacy is important? What is he? No, we don't believe that. And then, you know, the stocks kind of come in for some reason into that, like something magical is going to happen. And then they turn around pretty fast. So, but we have bad actors that are leveraging up with swap contracts 4 to 5 times their book.
This is where you start leveraging like this. This is always spells trouble.
Yep.
Yeah. With a capital T.
Two stocks. Yeah. And trouble. Trouble, my friend. You know, if in River City.
Yeah.
Right? The music.
And it rhymes with pool.
Yeah. Love that show. If anybody hasn't watched The Music Man, the movie, fantastic. Or seen the show. Discovery Networks, Viacom, both got pummeled down about 65% in a matter of 5 days. A couple of the stocks were caught up in that whole tailspin as well, and interesting opportunities on some of these, I think, moving forward. But what happens now is that as the tide goes out is where you start to see the broken bottles, the used condoms, the
dead starfish.
Exactly. You know, that's what happens. When it's high tide, you don't see anything. Everything's great. Everything's fine. Got the tide goes out. You got the fish that are kind of in the mudfish flopping around. That's what happens here. When things kind of start to get crazy, that's when you see, like, for example, back in 2008, that's Madoff. That's what happened. Or 7 it was. When things started getting a little bit crazy, all of a sudden they can't keep pace with their shenanigans.
Scam.
Yep.
They can't keep the scam going because you need to have the high tide for the scam.
Right. And we'll talk about this because I have a lot of in-depth discussion because, again, I think this is really a fascinating area to talk about. We had a stuck boat, an unstuck boat, and traffic is now flowing again in the Suez Canal.
That's faster than I thought it would happen.
Now, you followed this pretty closely, I'm sure. Was it that they were stuck? First of all, the whole this idea that a ship that large can get pushed around by the wind at that level is total horseshit. There is no way. A sandstorm and the redundancy of what they have and the people watching, and they turn sideways, and it makes no sense.
You know, I've been in a real, honest to gosh, sandstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's a lot of sand. It's really more like, it's kind of like fog. It's like a fog. If you've never been in one, you wouldn't have an idea. It's not sand. It's just this dust. Sand dust.
Okay.
And the thing becomes this, and it's blowing, but it's not blowing like a hurricane.
Well, let's go with the thought that maybe it was blinding. Let's say that. Let's just say that.
Oh, definitely blinding.
Okay.
But you can't see 10 feet in front of you.
You don't have to. You know, that's, you know what ILS is, right? And you know what GPS is, and you know what radar is, and you know what all these different components that these ships have. They don't need to see. They don't need to see anything.
I would say that's probably true, especially with the GPS and the rest, but that sand, maybe it clogs up though, or maybe it screws up the radar because it's really dense.
Radar, I'll give you. Radar, definitely I'll give you that it's kind of screwed that up. But you have everything else going on. You have the GPS, you have, you know, all these other things that are giving you direction. It just makes no sense. But it's unstuck. I mean, it was 9% or 10% of the world's economy flows through there on a daily basis, like $9 billion per day.
Yeah.
My wife, all she could think of is it going to hold up my Amazon package?
What's it going to shipping from Africa? Said, what is she ordering nowadays?
I asked her, what do you got coming? I don't know, but it better not, because I'm going to call Amazon. I'm going to tell them it's late and I want a credit. Like, okay, honey. Sounds good. Market update, we have a rate stabilization for a few days then. We had a 1.7 gap to 1.7 again on Monday. Then today it gapped up to 1.75%. Now these small numbers, 1.7 to 1.75, big deal. It's not so much these little, well, they are big moves in the bond market. But the bigger issue is that the trajectory of all of this and the parabolic move in rates from 1% to 1.75 and all the things we've talked about is very concerning. So, but markets are really not phased very much. They kind of go down till, you know, they see it spike up, bonds come back a little bit, markets start to level off a little bit. Friday was the biggest final hour move up in months and months and months. I mean, a vertical move from like 3:15 to 4 o'clock on a Friday, which is, by the way, a very good thing if you're long, because that means, and it tells you, or at least they're trying, maybe somebody's painting the picture that Ode. There's nothing to run, worry about.
Yeah.
Maybe that
could be. Absolutely.
But markets are in churn and burn mode. We're holding up the averages, but underneath there's a tremendous amount of carnage. You know, while the small caps are only off by 7% from their high and the NASDAQ's off 6%, the Dow's pretty much at its high. I think today's move of down 100-something points was off the high. But there's a lot of moving parts in this market right now, particularly on the growth technology. I mean, you look at stocks, some of the like Zoom and Peloton, and you know, they're down like 30%, Tesla, from where they were.
Yeah.
And we had massive losses for the Momo traders, especially those people that are chasing ARK funds. I've had people write me that they're not clients yet. They've been thinking about becoming clients, and they're writing me, and they say, I got one today. I don't know what to do. They're so hammered because they started getting really aggressive with like selling puts or selling calls or buying calls and, you know, buying the funds. And they're so in over their heads because these funds have they've really sold off. So, you know, these ARK funds have been a real benefit for the markets in certain stocks when they're moving, but it's been also a big problem for a lot of people that just started chasing these this year and down 20, 30%. And we're bracing for a $4 trillion in infrastructure program with massive tax hikes on the way.
Yeah. This is not going to be good.
So they're going to have to figure a way to pay for this.
Well, I know, but the massive tax hikes is going to sink the market. This may be the trigger.
I think it's very easy to say. And
well, I just said it.
Yeah, no, that's
correct. That's how easy it is.
So fantastic. It just flows right off your lips like that.
Yeah.
But if we had a tax cut from 28% down to 21% for the corporate tax rate, and that was very good for the profitability, everybody was talking about that. Is it the same discussion where when fuel costs go down, it's good for the economy? When fuel costs go up, it doesn't bother the economy? If we have a reversal of those tax cuts? I don't think so.
Well, that's where you and I differ.
No, wait a minute. Which part of that do we differ?
That if the tax cuts go back, we're talking about corporate taxes.
Correct.
That's what you were talking about.
Correct.
Go back to 28% from 21 or whatever it is. I thought it was 25 actually, but it's 21. I think it would it will slow things down.
I agree with you. No, I agree with that. That's what I was saying.
And I think the market will cave.
It has to. It hurts profitability. There is no scenario that you can build that says higher interest rates are not bad for stocks, certain stocks in particular. There's no scenario you can build that higher taxes are good for stocks. I can't even fathom what these talking heads are going to talk about, are going to bring up. It makes no sense.
No. Yep. Well, the talking heads are all Democrats, so they'll be all in on this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go. All Democrats. All of them?
Sorry?
There's no independents?
There may be one or two independents that are still floating around, but they get shouted down by the Democrats. It's supposedly Democrats.
So let me understand something, though, about your discussion about Democrats versus Republicans, just using those two parties. Is that just an easy naming convention for conservative and liberal, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's so interchangeable.
I think so.
All right. I just want to make sure.
I mean, there's a third element to this called a progressive. But the more I look at what they're up to, they're just communists and with a nicer name.
They are simply about MMT. The government should provide, and the government should not only provide, but the government should also tell you what to do.
Yes, this is pretty much what they want.
Yep. All right, let's talk about the story of the year, in my opinion. It's only March, but I think the couple of things that we've seen so far this year and into the latter part of last year with the Melvin Capital blow up, with GameStop, now with this situation, I think this is a very important moment. Not so much a watershed moment, but I think we are really on the cusp of seeing some other things that could be a problem. And for those of you that don't know, let me kind of give you a little bit of a background at what happened in the last 4 or 5 days. So there was a trader who participated in some of the wild trading of Chinese internet stocks. And there was also trading of Discovery Networks. There was trading in Viacom CBS. Now, there was a company, a hedge fund. Well, no, back it up. Not a hedge fund. I want to be clear about this. Not a hedge fund. It was a company called, I'm going to spell this to you, A-R-C-H-E-G-O-S, Arch Egos. Now, when I say the words arch enemy to you, arch enemy, what does the arch mean?
It means above.
Above.
In other words, the number one enemy.
Number one, the biggest, the king of enemies for you.
Yeah, the arch enemy.
This is arch egos, as I see it.
Well, do you sure they're not pronounced as archigos?
It could be archigos. What the hell is that?
Like archipelago.
I don't know. I think it was arch egos.
Okay, well, it's spelled arch egos. There's no doubt about that. And you could pronounce it arch egos, and you could spell it out, and that's how you'd spell it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's a mistake on that.
I don't know why anybody would call themselves arch egos.
Yeah.
But...
So this guy, Bill Wang. Like
how about arch douchebag?
Pretty much. Listen, he is an arch douchebag after you hear what he did. This guy's name is Bill Wang. Now, there's another one. This guy, Cao Li of Tang Yu Partners, were at the center of this whole problem. Now, a little history. Bill Wang was found guilty of insider trading back in 2012 and fined up to about $60 million, banned from trading in Hong Kong.
I actually remember this.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So he created what's called a family office. Anytime you hear the word family office, you have to probably put together that somebody was sanctioned by the SEC, by FINRA, by some regulatory authority.
Got it.
Like Stevie Cohen did. What do? They can't be in the business, but they can't run other people's money. Somehow magically they get this family office thing. All right. Here's what happened. Viacom CBS. There was a $3 billion stock offering that the company did, a secondary offering through Morgan Stanley and JP Morgan earlier in the week. Stock fell apart. It's down 15-20% and resulted in massive selling. Now, this fund, this family office, this arch douchebag, was long, really long, Viacom, using a tremendous amount of leverage. Now, just to kind of be clear about this.
So he was long before it got hammered.
Before it got hammered. And this stock was up about 100% in the last month and a half, 2 months.
Okay.
Viacom, because they're going to come out with a streaming service. Same thing with Discovery Network. Stock went up and up.
Everybody's going to make money on streaming. And then blockchain.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
How about streaming blockchain? Oh, now you're talking.
Wow. That's it. You got it. So what happened was that because of the leverage they used, upwards of 5, maybe even 8 times leverage on these deals through not stocks, but through what was called various swaps and some other instruments that were unable to be traced that he actually owned these things. In other words, it was total lack of transparency. He went to various banks around town, Credit Suisse, and he went to Nomura, and he went to Goldman, and he went to Morgan. And he borrowed money and borrowed money and borrowed money to keep on leveraging this whole thing up. Pretty much nobody knew what he was doing. Maybe a couple guys knew a few things, but nobody knew the extent of what the leverage was. And
what was he trying to accomplish? Was he trying to corner the market on Viacom?
That's what he did. That's exactly what he did. Okay. So all these companies, all of a sudden, when they saw that he was starting to get margin calls because the stock was down like 17-18%, multiply that by 5 or 6 times multiple because of the leverage, said, wait, we got to clean these trades up. Now, I heard they had some kind of a gentleman's agreement that, hey, you know what? We're not going to let this out there. We don't want the public to freak out. We want to make sure we can get our shares off, liquidate this guy.
We want to make sure we can get out. Let's don't say anything.
Don't say anything. Keep it quiet. But then late on Friday, Goldman took many of the names held by them onto their balance sheet and then liquidated them by distributing them to clients, which is another whole bag of worms. Goldman supposedly got out of this relatively unscathed. They pretty much...
That's what they do.
Right. But they're like, listen, guys, nobody sell anything right now. Keep it quiet and all that. Hold on a second. I got to go to the bathroom for a second. I'll be right back. Hey, hey, Charlie, trade desk. Give me the trade desk. Blow out $10 billion. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much what happened, it seems to me, okay? Now, one of the, it was all these block trades that just came through, this massive amount of block trades. Friday, the stock was down another 27%. So all these things that they had.
It's like a book in this.
It's unbelievable what went on here, okay? This guy, if you look him up, he recently, the last interview he did in 2019, has been very tight-lipped on what he does, obviously, for apparent reasons. And he's like, you know what? I do all this for God. When I make money and we build companies, all that, it's because it's God wants us to. This whole God thing. It's unbelievable.
Bill Wang is this guy you're talking about?
Yep. You got to look him up. There's a couple of, look up Bill Huang God. The spelling of his name, for anybody that's listening, is, what is it? H-W-A-N-G. These were guys that left Julian Robertson, the old Tiger funds, Tiger Cubs, they called them.
Yeah.
That's what, when he was, you know, taken out. Now, Credit Suisse on Monday, of course, by the way, on Friday, when this is all happening, there's a guy on a trading desk I know that I've known for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. You know, we said, oh, listen, look, it looks like Goldman's got some of this. We look at Morgan's. I said, you know what? I guarantee you by the time this is done, Credit Suisse is going to be up to their necks in this somehow. They're always, Deutsche Bank.
They always are.
Always are. Okay. Then, honestly, it was less than a day later that it comes out that Credit Suisse is warning of a highly significant hit to its first quarter results after it began exiting the positions on Monday. Okay, on Monday. This is 3 days later after Goldman said, oh, there's some stuff to yourself. Sure. There's upwards of $7 billion. It's like a year and a half's worth of earnings for these guys. For Credit Suisse. Nomura also issued a trading update on Monday warning of a significant loss of one of its U.S. subsidiaries resulting from transactions with a client stateside in the U.S. Japan's largest investment bank says it was evaluating the potential extent of the loss, estimated at $2 billion. We're talking about in totality, this was a $10 billion fund, supposedly, or family office, right? Supposedly, it's like a $10 billion loss. That's like all their stocks going to zero.
Yeah.
So the question is, who else is going to be taking some hits? Again, Goldman broke the ranks and unloaded early, supposedly saving them. But you have to wonder a couple of things. Why are hedge funds able to go to so many banks and institutions for funds without any risk management oversight? Heads are going to roll on this, by the way, because risk management was pathetic. This is like someone leveraging their house, buying a house and going out to seven different banks.
This is like the producer's movie.
Yeah, exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. You're right. And then in the end, what happened, right? It was a hit. This is the reverse.
They all lost their money. Yeah. Yeah. They lost all their money.
So, you know, you imagine owning an asset valued at $10,000. You buy it from yourself for $25,000. Now the market thinks it's worth $25,000. What this guy did was he kind of moved it up and up and up in value. Very similar to what we saw SoftBank do, you know,
only less elegantly.
Right. You know, with WeWork and all that. And then you further leverage and push the price even higher and others follow along. So that's kind of magical. So.
Well, that's like the valuation that changes because a new investor comes in.
Right. Right.
The same company.
Yep.
Doesn't do anything different. But now all of a sudden what was once a $3 billion company is a $10 billion company.
Yep.
How does that work?
This is like when I lived out in the west part of Fort Lauderdale, a town called Weston. There was an area in there that was all these Argentinians and Venezuelans that moved in. And I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, hey, we're making a lot of money with houses. I said, well, that's great. What are you doing? He says, well, we're buying houses. And then what happens is somebody in our family comes over and we sell to him at a higher price. I'm like, okay. And then he comes over and then we sells it to somebody else. And the family, we keep on raising the values of the house. I said, but aren't you screwing your brother? Well, you know, maybe he'll get out of it one day and make some money on it. I said, okay. Always whoever's left holding the bag is the big question.
So yeah, we got the end.
Yeah, there's a potential, I think, for SEC scrutiny on this because these swap transactions that they were utilizing for this were heavily leveraged and off book. But it seems like the SEC has been pretty much deballed.
Well, ever since Madoff, the SEC has not shown me anything.
Very, very unimpressed with their oversight.
And then they keep putting people in there from other do-nothing agencies. So the it's just like the SEC is, you're right, no balls, they got nothing.
But we do have...
They'll go after Martha Stewart.
Oh, of course. That's classic. But you have Gensler, Gary Gensler coming in. I mean, he has a pretty good resume of being a tight ass. So maybe something will happen there. I think there's going to be tighter margin requirements by prime brokers. That's how he traded this with prime brokers, which is you have all these external brokers that you can trade through. And that can the consequence of that could be constrained risk-taking, because if they start clamping down on leverage and they start looking at, you know, all these kinds of scary events is going to make a lot of companies start looking at the books and who they have money out with. Goldman's going to start investigating their various family offices and hedge funds for how much debt they have outstanding or how much margin they have.
Good idea.
So
it may come up. What if they can discover that they're in bad shape?
Right. And I think the question that we all have to ask about this now, the exact same thing happened with this movement of a stock from a family office. Was the GameStop move really all retail? It was blamed on retail. It was said to be Roaring Kitty and Deep Effing Value over on Reddit. But was it, you know, maybe this was a big cover-up that there really was a lot of hedgies, family offices, and all that doing some very crazy things in there.
That's an interesting theory. You can't prove.
Can't prove. All right, moving on. China's doing well. Annual profits at China's industrial firm surged in the first 2 months of 2021, highlighting a rebound in the country's manufacturing sector and a broad revival in economic activity from the coronavirus early this year. Profits stood at $170 billion in the first 2 months of 2021, up 179% from the same period last year. Now, don't forget, they got it. They got it earlier. They had the COVID earlier than we did, a couple months. and then they gave it to us. what else do we have here? Oh, this is the interesting part. Profits were up 72% from the 2009 levels, which brought the average 2-year growth to 31%. So it's like nothing happened.
Yeah, I know that's what it looks like.
Looks like nothing happened.
Because nothing happened except for that shut down of Wuhan for a month.
That was it. We have more money on the way. We have part one, $2.25 trillion being talked about. Biden's plan will include approximately, here's a list of things. I don't know if you've seen this yet. $650 billion to rebuild the United States infrastructure, such as roads, bridges, highways, and ports.
How come they always have these big numbers and nothing ever gets rebuilt? I still have potholes on Highway 80. I remember there was shovel ready back in 2008 and nothing was done. Still hasn't been done.
That's Trump's fault.
Yeah, everything's Trump's fault.
But what I find these numbers staggering. $650 billion to repair the roads. I don't know. Bridges, highways. I mean, I know it costs a lot of money, but so ridiculous the cost.
It sounds to me like it's just a giant slush fund that's going to be distributed to their pals.
Absolutely. The plan will also include a $400 billion for the care of elderly and disabled. What does that even mean? Is that for the Social Security Fund or something?
Are they not being cared for now? What's the deal?
$400 billion. I don't know.
Where's that money going to?
$300 billion for housing infrastructure and $300 billion to revive U.S. manufacturing. What does that mean? To revive U.S. manufacturing? How do you revive it by shoving money in?
It doesn't make sense. None of this makes any sense.
Yep.
It looks like a big squandering of money.
It also includes hundreds of billions of dollars to bolster the nation's electric grid, enact nationwide high-speed broadband. Is the government taking over for Comcast and AT&T now?
You're asking the wrong guy. Hmm. None of this makes any sense.
They're going to revamp the nation's water supply, the system to ensure clean drinking water, along with other major investments, plus tax hikes.
There you go. That's what they really want.
Yep. Jen Psaki has said that the proposal will be paid in for new tax hikes, particularly on corporations, seeking to reverse much of President Donald Trump's 2017 tax law. So cancel culture at the highest levels. And they're working on a second package and is expected to include an expansion health insurance coverage for, I don't know who that's for, an extension of the expanded child tax benefit and paid family and medical leave, among other efforts aimed at families, he said. The White House officials have not explained whether they will seek to have both efforts pass at the same time or not. The combined price tag of the package tops $4 trillion. $4
trillion. Yeah. Jeez.
$4 trillion.
And well, I would rather spend the money on auditing the Pentagon. It seems to me this money's already being wasted. Now they're just going to waste more.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes through that defense budget. A lot of money in that defense budget. Oops, poops. Jessica Richmond and Zachary Apt, the co-founders of the now-shuttered microbiome company Ubiome, are facing criminal and civil charges stemming from their efforts to build Ubiome into a poop testing powerhouse. The SEC complained and alleged that Richmond, who was 46 and who cares about their age, portrayed Ubiome as receiving...
Yeah, really. What's the point of putting that in there?
They always put the age in there. Why is the age always in these things?
I don't know.
They portrayed this company as receiving health insurance reimbursements for its tests while testing poop samples for different conditions related to gut health.
The complaint. Oh, this is the one that advertises that you send a poop.
No, that one's legit. Well, it's the one that kind of
you think
it's a cartoon and they have like a hat.
Are you sure?
They have like a top hat. You poop.
I don't know. All I know is you're supposed to poop in your hand or something and throw it in an envelope and then ship it to someone and then they give you a special diet to eat.
Wait. How do you go from the diet to you ship it to someone and the diet in the same discussion? Ew.
I'm just telling you.
That is, what is the name of that company? I know that company. That company. Anyway, that company, it's... a lot of colon issues and all that. It's a test they do from the house. You could do it usually at the office.
No. This is not the test, the colon test. That's different.
Oh.
That is similar.
Oh.
But no, this is a test for your gut health.
What is gut health? What does that even mean, gut health?
Gut health is a big deal. It's a big buzzword now, gut health. And so your gut health, which really is mostly your intestinal health because it has a lot of little animals living down in there. And you have to have the right animals. And so you poop into a bucket and send them to a spoon of the poop. And the next thing you know, you get a special bucket of little bugs that you eat. And the next thing you know, you're fine. I think that's it in a nutshell. I just explained it.
Okay. I don't know where to go from there. But maybe people just stop eating the bone broth and you won't have all these gut health problems.
Bone broth
Damn
is probably
bone
the problem.
Broth. I went home and I'm like, hey, kids, we got bone broth for dinner. They're like, what? Really? That's great. I'm like, no.
This is great. We're having bone broth.
Bone broth. Bitcoin energy users. A lot of discussion about all these Bitcoiners who are all about, you know, electric vehicles and saving the planet and doing all the right things for the right reasons, right? But yet, they seem to forget, like with electric cars, there's a need for energy. There seems to forget that possibly, who knows, we do utilize wind power. It changes maybe some of the wind flow. Maybe the solar panels are heating up the earth. I don't know. But Bitcoin's energy consumption is comparable to that of major corporations like American Airlines, which fly 200 million passengers a year, and even the entire U.S. federal government, which employs 2 million people. Each $1 billion of inflows into Bitcoin use the same amount of energy as 1.2 million cars.
I don't know who comes up with these calculations, but okay.
Bitcoin uses, and the higher the price gets, the more you get.
Yeah, I know. The harder it is to find a Bitcoin.
Yep. And you don't have to find it. It's also just the transactions, the swapping the hashtag and making sure it confirms out. It's not just the digging. We have a very sad story that really, I get choked up when I start thinking about this. This, the poor, overworked bankers, you know.
All those poor things.
Yeah. Goldman Sachs, a group of its first-year analysts have warned senior analysts and senior management that they are overworked and will quit within 6 months unless conditions improve. So I don't know if you can get this visual here. They're obviously sitting in a very cold, dank, hot basement somewhere with obviously some kind of sewing machine contraption in front of them. No lunch breaks, a pee bottle to their left, rice on the right, and, you know, to a point that they make, you know, 32 cents a day. Is that what they're worried? Is that the thing?
Yeah, in China.
Junior banker said that they work an average of 95 hours a week. I worked 90 hours a week when I first started out in a variety of different businesses. You do what you got to do. Slept 5 hours a night.
And by the way, I don't believe that. I believe you. I don't believe them. What's a banker working 95 hours for?
They may have some deals they're trying to get out the door. They're trying to finish up. Who knows? They slept 5 hours a night, frequently faced unrealistic deadlines. Unrealistic deadlines. And that their relationships with friends and family were feeling the strain as a result. Now, if you're, first of all, if you're graduating a particular college, maybe getting your MBA with the hopes you're going to become a banker and be wealthy one day, just let me just tell you a couple things. First, probably, unless you are part of the family, not going to be a cush job in the beginning. Already, there's no such thing as unpaid interns. Let's just move past that. You're getting paid. You're at a major firm. You just do what you got to do, stick to the plan, and you're going to do very well in life, right?
I don't know. I never took that route.
But if you know the people, you know what they do. The suits.
Yeah, the suits.
They feel they've been victims of workplace abuse.
Somebody yelled at them?
Yeah.
Well, somebody. So you know what this is? This is the new Zoomers and young millennials. They can't take somebody yelling at them or criticizing them or saying, oh, you know, I would hope that you could, your handwriting, you know, is not as clear as it could be. Can you try to write that in this ledger a little more succinctly? Yeah.
Listen, my daughter works for one of these, we'll call it, I don't mean progressive in the terms of political, but progressive companies. And recently she had to do her quarterly or maybe her semi-annual review, right?
Yeah.
So in the old days, what would happen is your manager would write something, slap it on your desk and say, here's what I think of you, fix it, and let's move on, right?
Sounds right.
Now you write it yourself.
Yes.
You grade it yourself. It's then sent to maybe.
It makes some people nervous wrecks.
Right. And then it was 69, 70 pages. By the time the whole thing was turned around between, yes, I agree with you. Another coworker pipes in on another thing. You get random people to write about you and then management. Honestly, it was like an entire book. She goes, Dad, look at this. Look how great I did. Read this. I start reading. I'm like, it looks great. I think. I don't know. I don't understand. Like Andrew, why don't you grade yourself on a 1 to 5 on how you're doing? I'm like, all right, hold on. 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. You know what I'm saying? I mean.
Old school.
Yeah, they're all about, no, I think I could do better. If you just talk nicely to me, I know I'll do better.
Yeah, don't yell.
One of the people said there was a point, one of these Goldman Sachs dudes, a point where I wasn't eating, showering, or doing anything else other than working from morning until after midnight. I want to tell you something, just so you know this. I've been doing this 30-something years. I come to the office probably 6 days a week, if not sometimes 7, but usually 6 days a week.
Come in late so you can do the podcast.
I'm in here at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. Here's a Tuesday. I mean, let's say these days I've been doing some exercise in the morning. So let's say I get in at 8:30. I get in at 8:30. My lunch is 12 minutes. Eat at my desk, go through it, watch some stuff that's going on, kind of change it up a little bit for lunch. Today's Tuesday. Left the office at about 4:30. Went home, kind of watched a few things, talked to the family, had a little dinner. 6:30, I came back to the office. I'm here till 10:30. Wah. You haven't said nice things to me, John. This is podcast abuse, man. Crazy.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
So the solution seems to be, there's a big solution out there for all of this. They say it's going to be Zoom-free Fridays.
How about just getting the phones away from these people?
It's great. Yeah, right. Right. I don't have time to post on my Instagram, man. This is just not what I expected.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yep. SPACs are now targeted. The U.S. securities regulators have opened an inquiry into Wall Street's blank check.
Just found out about yep. these things recently, and now they're already.
They should. You cut out. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're back. Okay.
Sorry. I said I just found out about these things, and now they're cracking down.
Exactly. They opened an inquiry into Wall Street's blank check acquisition frenzy and seeking information on how underwriters are managing the risks involved. And the thing is, they're asking the banks to provide the information voluntarily. And didn't this isn't really rising to the really bad level. There was a big leak this week from Volkswagen. They accidentally posted a press release on his website a month earlier than they wanted to go out on Monday. So let's think about that. If it was a month earlier, the date was going to be, let's call it 3/25. It would be April 25th, right? That would be if it was a month early.
Yeah.
All right. Announcing the new name for its U.S. operations, which would have been Volkswagen.
Bolt?
Volt. Volt. V-O-L-T.
Volt?
Volkswagen.
Volkswagen?
Yeah, as in we're only doing electric.
Yeah, but although it's a violation of the Chevy Volt trademark, but okay.
Volkswagen of America, emphasizing the German automaker's electric vehicle effort. Well, kidding, not kidding. They got a lot of...
Yeah, of course. Well, that, you know, you can... when nobody comes out with a press release a month in advance unless it was planned.
Well, they say it was... They're retracting it. It was supposed to be an early...
test. It was test marketing. Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
But here's how pathetic they are. They said it was an early April Fool's joke.
Oh.
Come on.
That's pretty pathetic.
Come on. Terrible. Elon Musk took to Twitter to make a prediction about his electric vehicles. He said, Tesla, I think there is a greater than a 0% chance that Tesla could be the biggest company ever soon. He said, within a few months.
I love this guy.
Within a few months, maybe. Then he deleted it. I thought about that. Well, what happened to his mandate about not tweeting without oversight and checking with all these compliance? Remember that?
I don't know why they don't throw this guy in jail.
I just don't understand. And the stuff he talks about and how he says it, and then he had to delete, he was the lawsuit against somebody else.
I'm just kidding. Freedom of speech.
But here's the problem. There's no ramifications that are significant enough to dissuade bad behavior when it comes to the opportunity to make money these days. It's really disgusting. I'm all in favor of making money. But it's that, you know.
Yeah, it's borderline criminal.
I agree.
In fact, no, let me take it back. It's criminal.
He was told.
These are violations of the SEC rules. Straight up.
Yep. And especially because he was already, he got fined $40 million?
He's already been slapped on the wrist.
Right. I guess he's like, what's $40 million? Sell a house over here and I'll move over there. Now, Tesla also reporting that some people are being double charged for their cars. When you buy a Tesla, it's pretty much like you put your bank account information online. It's automatically swiped from your bank account if you're going to pay cash. Right from their bank accounts. You buy a car, $42,000. Another $42,000 comes out. So there's a bunch of people that are kind of like trying to get their money back. Hmm. Nice little possibility of holding some money for benefiting their bottom line, maybe.
I don't know. There's no interest or anything. You count how much money you can make on this. That sort of scam anymore.
Yep. And the story and the idea and the innovation that will never seem to go away, no matter how bad of an idea it is once again making a comeback. Snapchat or Snap is readying a new push again into hardware with a more advanced version of its spectacle smart glasses.
What is the deal with these glasses? Nobody buys them. And you look like a dweeb if you wear them.
They threw out hundreds of thousands of them last go round.
Yeah.
Now, these features displays that are capable of augmented reality effects, whatever that is. And they're also reviving a years-long effort to build a drone. No, I'm not sure. You know what this is? It seems to me like somebody in upper management has a thing. He likes drones, so somehow he's going to become a drone company. Somehow. And I'm not sure doing what with it. And then the spectacles are an interesting concept.
This is the kind of lack of focus that really ruins most companies.
Just ridiculous. just ridiculous. All right, listen, if you find us things that we talk about to be enjoyable, funny, informational, educational, or even money-making for that matter, you know, please do us a favor. Go over to dhunplugged.com. Click on the yellow button that says donate and donate. Thank you for all the people that have donated over the last few weeks. We really encourage you to do so. It helps out a lot. You know, we do this for our enjoyment also, but you know, a couple of bucks in and out helps with some of the costs related to servers, shirts, trophies, and all the things we do for people have to actually run the sites and fix it every once in a while and do things and update. So all those things, plus, you know, why not, right? Everybody's making money these days, so you might as well. You know,
everybody but this show.
Yeah. We've had some good advertisers on lately. Everybody gives us crap about the advertisers, but.
No, screw that. We're going to have to put advertisers because the people giving us crap don't give us enough cash.
Yep. What's going on with the sats? Is that something you're doing on No Agenda?
What?
Sats.
What's sats?
These are the Adam Curry interest show bitcoins that you earn. Or somebody's working on it.
Some, no, that's part of his podcasting 2.0 thing. It has really nothing to do with No Agenda. And we don't take bitcoins into the No Agenda coffers because I and Adam would somewhat agree with this. We both believe it to be a IRS nightmare.
Mm, that's true. That's definitely true. Right. If somebody gives it to you, that could be considered a gift.
You don't know what to do. We don't take them. Currency. We just don't take them. We just don't take them.
You know, the way the IRS works with
gifts. Actually, if we had taken them, we'd probably have a lot more money. But again, the IRS is just. This is an IRS nightmare just waiting to happen. Wouldn't touch a Bitcoin in a commercial venue like No Agenda in a million years.
Just you know, if I was to tax code, if I was to give you, let's just say I was let's pretend for a moment that I had a share of Apple stock. Let's say I bought it at $2. Okay. And now it's worth, you know, it doesn't matter the exact worth, but let's say it's worth $100 to make this math easy. If I gift you that share.
Yeah.
The basis of the original holder is then transferred to you, the person who receives the gift. So I just gave you effectively a taxable implication upon sale.
Yeah.
So that could be a problem.
I can see that. It's just a pain in the ass to deal with this stuff.
There are a few days left to put your guess in for the price on the close to the pin for GameStop. Go over to DH Unplugged and do that. I think you have until this Friday coming up. If you think you got any kind of crazy ideas of where that stock may go, trading it right, I think at maybe $200 or something. That I think is something that you should check out. Let's see. What else do we have here? From the stories of the weird. This is not finance, but
your favorite segment.
This is weird. The Minnesota Supreme Court last Wednesday ruled that a man who had sex with a woman while she was passed out on his couch cannot be found guilty of rape because the victim got herself drunk beforehand. Minnesota is one of the states that says that for a victim to be too mentally incapacitated to give consent, they must have become incapacitated against their will, such as if a person was secretly drugged or something like that. So if a woman gets drunk
and passes out,
and some guy creeps up on her and does his business, it's not rape.
Well, that's not the case in California.
That's not the case in anybody's mind besides something. I mean, if calling all rapists, we have a house for sale or two
in Minnesota. Move there. Well, clean up the rest of the country.
Yeah. All right. We have a mystery limerick. You want to hear it?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right. And of course, the chat room can grade this as well. And here we go. Our country is led by Joe Biden, whose feet keep slipping and sliding. His pick for Treasury chair is a silver-headed old mayor getting ready for the deficit to widen.
Ooh, that's pretty good. That's a good one. It's got everything going on. It's got the right rhythm. It's got the right, it's kind of entertaining. I'll give that an A.
Thank you. That's me. Thank you.
You finally, after I did all those winners, you finally decided to actually put some effort into it.
I put some effort into it. I kind of moved around a few words in there. I was inspired by your, what you had. Yellen's head was a shaped like a pear or something like that.
You know, there once was a woman named Yellen whose head was as big as a melon.
That was a good one. I like that. That was a good one.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
The list is growing and getting longer. Only one thing got kicked off, but the good news is that you shorted GameStop at 157.98. You got kicked off at 142 for a 10% gain. And I think I'm going to look this up right now. I'm going to do this ahead of you because I know where your mind is. And let's see. It's at 194. Ooh. It's after hours, 194.46. So
that's shorted again.
Oh, I knew that was coming. I'm just going to copy this whole line here.
Right, I have one pick besides that, which is my obvious pick. We've had week after week pick because it keeps making money, but it keeps getting kicked off.
Right. Let me put control C, control B. Okay, you can talk if you want to talk through the all the stuff here. This is go again four, by the way.
Go again. What, this is my fourth time?
Yeah.
Well, at least I'm consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I'm looking at this list, by the way, and your ventilation pick is now back to top. And I'm trying to catch you with the Summit Financial Group, which is up 73%. Mm. You're up 86%. And I also have another bank at 69% up. I did well with these banks early on. Currently, we have some, and you had News Corp. That was me, insiders, nothing, dead money. Virgin Galactic, that's yours. You're losing money a little bit. Still almost, you know, just 2%. And then some ETF. I am picking Babcock and Wilcox or BW.
Badcock. BW? Bad BW. Cop or Bad Cop?
Bad Cop. Bad Cop and Wilcox.
Let's see what I put that in here.
Ugh. And that's Insider, straight up.
Insiders.
One of the...
why is this not... Is BW's a symbol?
Yeah, BW.
That doesn't seem to work.
Well, maybe let me take a look to make sure I'm right.
Nope, not happy.
No, that's BW.
BW. BW. Let me check something here. On BW, enter. Yep, Babcock and Wilcox. What's the problem? I don't know. It must be something with the... Am I in the right line? I'm on the right line. I don't know what the problem is. Let's do a copy here.
I think this is actually a good pick.
Oh, I know what the problem is. I got it. I fix it. Okay, so that's Insiders. Inside. What does that company even do? Do you know?
Oh, they make everything. Furniture? Drilling. Infrastructure. It's an infrastructure company.
All right, so I have two stocks. I'm going to put on Discovery Communications and CBS Viacom.
Yeah, I think these are just dynamite picks.
I mean, as long as
it's falling knife. This is dumb. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to take off right away, but these, especially CBS, is way underpriced.
Yep, so we got that on there.
It's $100 stock.
All right. Well, I think we're going to end it right there. So, first of all, happy Good Friday, happy Easter. What are you doing for Easter? You're making a little spiral ham or something? What are you doing?
When's Easter? Oh, it's just coming. It's just Sunday.
Yeah.
No, a spiral ham is something I'll never buy in a million years. What am I doing for Easter? We're doing a no agenda show. That's about it.
That's it.
I don't have any real plans for Easter. Maybe we go and see the kids and chase an egg. I don't know.
Ah, okay.
I'm just irked that every time my birthday, which is April 5th.
It's Easter?
When it falls, no, that's April 5th is Monday. But it does fall on Sunday every 7 years or so. And only once in my entire life has that Sunday been picked as Easter, because there's some very convoluted way of picking Easter, what day it's going to be. And it seems that April 5th is not in the cards from Easter. Irksome.
Well, we wish you happy birthday.
So when I was a little kid, I had Easter on April 5th, my birthday, and I thought that was going to be the case.
Listen, another reason to donate right there. My birthday was 2 weeks ago. John's birthday is coming up on April 5th. So, you know, if you love us, if you love the show, that's what you got to do. So clean it up. Until next week.
See you then.
See you then.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.